Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA final.
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. Jordan Buscarini alongside Travis Anderson. One of those Monday/Tuesdays editions of the show. And, well, there's plenty to talk about. Yesterday was New Year's Day. Didn't mean it wasn't Black Monday in the NFL. Plenty of teams looking for a new head coach. But, Travis, before we hopped on the air, it was breaking news that Marvin Lewis will return as head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. That surprises me.
Yeah, they extend him till 2019, so there was a lot of talk that Marvin Lewis would move on. He'd move into the front office, and the Bengals would be looking for a head coach. He's back for two more.
Okay, so answer me this. Has he justified it? Because that's the first question everyone's going to ask. I know the Bengals haven't won a Super Bowl, but let's be honest. I mean, this is a team that Marvin Lewis has really made a competitive, I don't want to call them a powerhouse, but they're very consistent, very competitive year in and year out.
Yeah, they were one of four teams from, 2011 to 2015 to make the playoffs four straight years. He's won, four division championships. He's made the playoffs seven times. So what are you going to do in Cincinnati? He really hasn't had a lot of personnel. I know they lost Carson Palmer. Their quarterback, Andy Dalton, really hasn't panned out the way that they thought. So I think he's done a nice job. Yeah, he's been okay.
He's been okay. I mean, I don't think Andy Dalton, is he going to go down as a friend? Yeah, he's going to play his entire career, I think, in Cincinnati. I think he's adequate. Do I think you can win with Andy Dalton? I think you can.
They've choked away playoff games. They have.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. I mean, the Bengals in true Bengal form have found ways to lose games. I, for one, am happy they're bringing Marvin Lewis back. And I'll tell you why. There's so many. The coaching carousel just gets bigger and bigger every single year. And I think there are a lot of individuals that lost their job that didn't necessarily deserve to lose their job. And so, you know what? I'm actually happy that the Bengals have decided that they're going to stick it out with Marvin Lewis. Now, it's not official yet, but it looks as if John Gruden may be making his return to the NFL. Did Jack Del Rio deserve to lose his job?
No. And for all that, John Gruden says that he loves, coaches, and he's one of those guys that would never do anything. He goes behind Jack Del Rio's back, negotiates a contract, and gets the job, and then they fire Jack Del Rio. So I don't think Jack Del Rio deserved to be fired. He took the team to the playoffs last year, and everything was fine. It's just they ran into some injury problems, and now all of a sudden that they're going to cut ties with him and bring back John Gruden, which I think John Gruden's overrated anyways.
Yeah, he won a Super Bowl. I don't know if I can go that. I think John Gruden's a great football mind. I got to disagree with you there. As far as John Gruden accepting the job, look, no one would turn down what the Raiders have thrown. If the reports are accurate.
Gruden loves money.
Well, he's getting possible ownership stake in the team. Like, nobody would turn that down. Would I trade Jack Del Rio for John Gruden? Yeah, in a heartbeat. I really would. I know that Jack Del Rio has done some good things, but for every good thing that he has done in Oakland, he's done a lot of maddening things as well. Reggie McKenzie is another guy that I think is really on the verge of not having a job relatively soon. I think you have to, it kind of works hand in hand with Gruden. I am surprised that Gruden is taking a job in which he doesn't have 100% control of personnel on the field.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing that is surprising.
And that'll probably change.
Well, and maybe he didn't want it. I don't know. But we'll talk about the NFL coaching situation a little bit later on in the show. And, of course, we'll take a look at the playoffs now that we know who is playing who and what time and all that good stuff. This Saturday and Sunday, we have NFL playoff action. Let's talk college football. We're down to two teams. It's an all-SEC national championship. Number three will play number four, Georgia and Alabama. We'll start with Baker Mayfield. Heisman campaign. Played well yesterday, didn't get the W.
Yeah, defense non-existent for both teams. Yeah, Baker Mayfield played well. Surprised at the play calling there in overtime that they kind of took the ball out of Baker Mayfield's hand.
Yeah, we'll talk about that game a little bit later. And also, we have we have Clemson falling to Alabama, and Alabama just just dominated that game. Absolutely annihilated Clemson offensively. Clemson had less than 70 yards rushing in that game. Didn't help that Etienne went down early on, but I don't think it would have mattered. I mean, that was all Alabama from the very beginning. We'll talk about those two games and preview a little bit of the national championship, which is less than a week away already. Also on the show today, again, we're going to talk some more NFL football, and we'll be joined by Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbondino Boys Basketball Squad. They traveled on the road to Cedar City in the Steve Hodson Cancer Classic over the weekend. You can get a complete game recap for the Dinos at CastleCountryRadio.com. Carbon finishes 0-3 at that tournament. They'll have a chance to bounce back as they continue region play on Friday. Let's take a look at the NBA schedule. The NBA has taken a backseat, I think, over the last couple of days because you have the NFL playoffs, the college football bowl games. By the way, before I step away from college football bowl games, yesterday was by far the best day of bowl action we had all year long.
Yeah, a lot of great games all around from morning
really
to night.
Were. Notre Dame LSU was a great game. Michigan, South Carolina was a fun game. Central Florida defeated Auburn. We got to talk about Central Florida a little bit later on in the show. And then you had the two bowl games at night, the playoff bowl games. It was an awesome day for college football.
Yeah, Central Florida gets it done, undefeated 13-0, and they don't have a chance to play for a championship.
Should they?
They probably should.
No.
If we had eight teams, then yeah, they should, but
I wouldn't even put them in there with eight teams. I wouldn't put Central Florida in there with eight teams because, and I know this is a topic that is close to a lot of people's heart here in the state of Utah, and I can go in detail on this a little bit later. My opinion, no, when your best win is Memphis, you do not belong in the college football playoff. You don't. That was their best win. Memphis was the only ranked team that they beat all year long.
Got to schedule better.
You have to. They had Georgia Tech on the non-conference slate. That game got canceled.
They would have killed Georgia Tech.
Probably. Probably. No, I don't think they should have been to the playoffs. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Tonight, NBA matchups. The Utah Jazz taking the night off before they return tomorrow to take on the Pelicans, but we do have five games on tap tonight. Portland will travel on the road to meet the Cleveland Cavaliers. We get San Antonio at the Knicks. Both of those games will be in the 5 o'clock hour. 7 o'clock tonight, Atlanta at Phoenix. The Hornets travel to meet the Kings at 8 o'clock, and then at 8:30, it's Memphis and the Clippers. Take a look at the NBA standings and how the Utah Jazz are faring. They've been on the outside looking into the playoff picture for the last little while now, and that continues to be the case. They've lost 7 out of their last 10. The Clippers have now caught the Jazz win percentage-wise. Utah at 16-21. Look, it's reality. This team's not going to go to the playoffs. This team's going to be below 500. They're underperforming as to where I thought they would be, I think we can rule that out. I just don't see this team going to the playoffs. I really don't.
They get a nice win at home against Cleveland, which you expect because LeBron never wins in Utah. So they got to get better on the road. But like you said, they're not going to make the playoffs.
And look who's dead last in the Western Conference.
The Los Angeles Lakers.
Dead
again.
Last again. Magic Johnson. It was kind of put up or shut up time. Now it definitely is put up or shut up time. 1-8 in the Western Conference. Golden State, Houston. Houston's come back down to earth. They've played 500 basketball over their last 10 games. San Antonio doing exactly what they do. But one of the teams that's played so well as of late is Minnesota. This team has been very entertaining. 24-14 overall. OKC at 20-17, and the 5 seed to get Portland at the 6, Denver at the 7, and New Orleans at the 8. The Clippers have played better basketball as of late as well.
Yeah, the Clippers have. They get Blake Griffin back. Lou Williams continues to light it up. So Clippers starting to play a little bit better.
Still under 500, but, 41, 42, 43 wins. That may be enough to get a team into the playoffs in the Western Conference. We've got a break for just a moment. Again, plenty coming up on today's show. A great mix of local and national when we return.
So, Christmas is over, but now you're hit with a holiday spending hangover. If you're feeling stressed about how to pay for all the holiday cheer you spread this year, don't worry. Desert View Federal Credit Union has a Christmas debt consolidation loan to make it all more affordable. With competitive interest rates and an easy approval process, you'll have all those debts taken care of in no time. Come into Desert View today and get started. Desert View Federal Credit Union, the cure for the holiday spending hangover.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA. With the opening of the new Urgent Care Center, there are now more healthcare options to choose from than ever before here in our area. Having choices is a plus, but it can also be confusing when selecting the right option at the right time. It's important to remember to use the emergency room for severe or painful conditions that, if not treated immediately, can result in loss of life or limb. For minor illnesses or injuries that require advanced care, or at times when regular primary care physicians are not available, the Urgent Care Center can offer relief. Castleview Hospital, making communities healthier.
How do you decide what vehicle to buy? At JN Auto, they know that ultimately you're looking for the best deal, the nicest car for the best price. So save yourself some time and make your first stop at JN Auto in Huntington. Quality vehicles at an affordable price. With JN Auto, you only need to make one stop to find the best deal around. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin on the high school basketball court, where this past Friday, the Emory Spartans wrapped up the non-region portion of the schedule by suffering a 92-75 loss to the Union Cougars in Roosevelt. The back-and-forth contest was highly entertaining. In fact, at the end of the first quarter, Union held a 22-20 lead, and Emory managed to fight back, cut it to one going into the second half. But that's when things went all Union's way. The Cougars outscored Emory 26-18 in the third and 26-17 in the fourth to ease their way to the win. Despite the setback, Emory connected on 17 three-point makes. And at the same time, it was Easton Gordon who delivered a season-best 27 points. Brax Jensen finished with 14. Kyson Stilson scored 13. And Cade Brazier knocked down 5 three-point shots to score 15. The loss puts Emory at 6-3 in non-league action, and now the Spartans will turn their attention to the region opener this Wednesday at home against the Richfield Wildcats. You'll be able to listen to the live broadcast of this game by tuning in to KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Live coverage will begin at 6:30 with the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show, followed by tip-off at 7. We stick with high school basketball, but we move over to the Carbon Dino Boys Squad, who participated in 3 games in 3 days, beginning on Thursday at the Steve Hodson Cancer Classic in Cedar City. The Dinos suffered 3 losses and as many tries. On Thursday, it was a 69-40 loss to Canyon View. They followed that up with a 56-37 loss to South Sevier, and then ended the weekend with a 73-51 loss to Panguitch. That contest was on Saturday. The Dinos are now 3-10 overall this season, but more importantly, 2-1 in region play. Carbon will return to the basketball court on Friday. They'll travel to meet Macer Prep. Start time for that contest is scheduled for 7 p.m. The Carbon Dino girls basketball squad continued the season on Friday. They traveled on the road to meet North Summit in a non-league tilt. And unfortunately for this one, the Lady Dinos came up short 56-46. Carbon trailed early 20-12 at the end of the first quarter and never recovered. Despite the setback, it was Abby Sacamano who led the way for Carbon. She scored 14 points, including 9 from downtown. Kelsey Sorensen finished with 10, and Jody Noyes matched that total, also scoring 10. The Lady Dinos will continue region action as they play host to Macer Prep. This game will be on Thursday. Start time for it is scheduled for 7 p.m. And we take a look at the Emory Lady Spartans basketball squad as they participated in plenty of action over the weekend and came away unbeaten with 3 wins. Emory defeated Jordan on Friday 75-30 and then defeated Westlake 101-40. The Emory Lady Spartans wrapped up the weekend with a hefty victory over Judge Memorial 71-45, and that runs their win total to 10-0 on the season. The Lady Spartans will now take on Richfield on the road this Tuesday in a highly anticipated matchup. Start time for this contest is scheduled for 8 p.m. You'll find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Chicken is better when it's shared. It's a scientific fact, but don't look it up. So grab a few friends and get into KFC for their $20 fill-up. You'll get 8 pieces of their juicy chicken, original grilled or crispy, 3 large sides of your choice, and 4 flaky buttermilk biscuits, all for just $20. That's a delicious deal. While you're there, don't forget to grab a gallon of their famous root beer. With KFC, you get a complete home-cooked meal that you don't have to cook. Take the stress out of dinner tonight. KFC has got you covered.
At Emory Medical Center, patients are like family with the most comprehensive care around, including on-site x-rays and lab work. Emory Medical Center gives quality health care in one convenient location with doctors and physicians who put the patient first. Emory Medical is excited to announce the return of physician's assistant Lowell Morris. To make an appointment with Lowell or any of the other trusted providers, call 381-2305. Emory Medical Center, your friends, your neighbors, your providers.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 750 AM KOAL. First edition of the Coach's Corner this week, and we have plenty of basketball to talk about over the next couple of days. We'll get rolling with it right now. Over the weekend, the Carbon Dinos traveled to the Steve Hodson Cancer Classic in Cedar City, and unfortunately for the Dino Boys basketball squad, they came back 0-3. Joining us right now to talk about that and more, we have Coach Kyle Wilson over the phone right now. Coach, as always, great to get you on the show.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Coach, we'll talk about the busy weekend for you guys. You travel to the Steve Hodson Cancer Classic. Thursday, Friday, Saturday games for you guys. First action that you've seen in about 8 days from that Christmas break. Unfortunately, you guys come back with 3 losses.
Yeah, you know, we went down there and we played. I mean, we played some really good competition down there. I mean, you only go to 4A school at Canyon View, and they got a kid, Blackner. I mean, he'll go play, you know, small D1 or a good, you know, junior college school. And you know, I thought we played decent defense first quarter. Kind of let a few things get away from us in the second quarter. And then, you know, it's hard to make up. I guess a good basketball team, hard to come back. South Sevier that next day, they're a good basketball team. I thought we played pretty well for 3 quarters. And then the fourth quarter, you know, I don't know what happened, and they just kind of got away from us a little bit and you know, couldn't fight back and just couldn't hold it off. And then Saturday, you know, playing against Panglitch. Panglitch is a really good basketball team. I believe they're returning state champions, and they got a kid on their team. I can't remember his last name, but he's a stud. He's about 6'4". He's a big kid, and he can shoot. He can attack the basket. He can finish inside. He's just a very good basketball player at any level, 1A through 5A. I mean, 6A, he's just a good basketball player, and he kind of took it to us that game. So, you know, my guys fought hard, and just, you know, some things didn't go our way. We didn't score the ball very well, and you know, things happen. But we got to be able to learn from what happened this weekend and, you know, change what needs to be changed and apply it to, you know, practice this week, getting better, and, you know, get back ready for the region games.
How difficult of a situation is that for a team that only has 3 seniors to begin with to take 8 days off, then travel on the road, play 3 games in 3 days, you know, 3.5 hours, 4 hours away from home? I mean, is that a pretty difficult situation for this team, at least in your opinion?
Yes and no. You know, I think it comes down to, you know, high school kids kind of go down and get a little excited and get a little a little focused on other things. You know, it's easy for a 16, 17, 18-year-old kid to get distracted on the road. You know, they got to learn that when they go on the road, it's business. You know, when after the season, you can start having fun when you go on a road trip or something, but you know, you travel down there for that. You know, it's traveling down there to play basketball. It's not traveling down there for a vacation. And you know, it's easy to get distracted. I remember when I was that age, you know, same thing. It just comes with maturity. And you know, at the same time, you know, after the first day, I thought the second and third day we were ready to go. And I don't know. It's just, you know, a few things didn't go our way early. And it just kind of got a little, you know, it's hard to battle back against teams nowadays because all the teams you're going to play are decent teams. They have one or two basketball players that are really good, and you know, you need to step up and from the tip. And we, you know, we're struggling at that, playing for 32 minutes. We play really good for, you know, a few minutes here and there, but right now it's putting a, you know, 32 minute game together. And you know, I think we'll come around. I think we'll be okay. It's just we got to learn from it and learn quick.
Well, you guys have been okay as far as region play goes, and 3-10 overall doesn't look good, but I'll tell you, it looks good when you take a look right next to it and see that you're 2-1 in region play. I mean, it's kind of a tale of two tales up to this point.
Yeah, you know, and it's frustrating, you know, to a point, but at the same time, it's good because, you know, 2-1 in region, and region's really the only thing that matters. You know, we've played some good competition in the, you know, non-region games. And the things we need to focus on are winning region games and putting ourselves in a good position, you know, come the state tournament. And right now, I think we're in a pretty decent position, and I think we can beat anybody in our region if we show up and play like we're capable of playing.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbondale Boys basketball squad. Coach, with that being said, this Friday you guys return to the court. You'll take on Macer Prep. This is a team that I've got to watch Macer once already this season. They went toe-to-toe with Emory, and it was a very lopsided affair. They have a couple of kids that can score the basketball on this team. Macer's kind of one of those feast or famine squads. At least that's what I've been able to gauge from just looking at the box score, watching a few clips here and there from this team.
Right, you know, they got a couple guys that can, you know how to find the basket. When they're playing well, they're a good basketball team, and they're a team that we need to respect going into it. It's a game I think that we can win if we'll put the 3 days of practice that we have, put the 3 days of practice in hard and get ready for them. It's definitely a game that we can win, and it's a game that I expect to win. We just need to make sure we're playing our game. And we're doing what we do well, if we move the ball around, find the open guy, make that extra pass, and get a high quality, high percentage shot. If we can do that for 32 minutes, and then if we can buckle down and play defense, rebound the ball, I think we'll be just fine.
The schedule is a little bit odd here over the next little while for you guys. Again, a lot of that has to do with the fact that you guys have started region play so much earlier than the other regions in the 3A classification. But you get Macer on Friday. If you get that win, Coach, you only have a couple of days to prepare for Union. But, I mean, to get off to a 3-1 start, I mean, that pretty much guarantees that you guys will have a winning record or close to a winning record over the first go-around of region action, which is not that far off. I mean, we're going to be talking about the second go-around here relatively soon.
Yeah, it is a big game. We can get this one, I not to take anything away from but I mean, all of them are big games. Can even come down to the wire with seeding and going who you're playing in the first round of state tournament. But you're right. If we can get this one, and that's the one we're focused on right now. If we can get it, which I expect we will, or we should. 3-1 in region. I'm not going to complain about it by any means. And that's the things we need to focus on right now is region play, like we've been talking about the whole time. If we can get that, get a little momentum back going to Union next Tuesday. If we can go to Union and steal one, that'd be huge. And that'll put us in a very good position, kind of going into that second go around. So.
Let's talk about some individuals here for a moment, Coach. Last time I had you on the show, you and I had talked about Jordan Vasquez and his ability to actually get going from downtown, and it seemed like over the past, four or five games leading up into this this weekend tournament, he'd shot the ball very well for you guys. That's one of your three seniors actually leading the team in scoring at this point in time. Have you noticed that level of consistency over the last little while with him?
Yeah. He's still been playing well. He still knows how to find the bucket. It's just we need to be able to find him, and there are times when he gets going and we need to make sure we get the ball in his hand, and we're not. There are times when he needs to kind of be a little more aggressive offensively, which I'm never gonna be upset with the guy being aggressive on offense. And, there are times maybe when he can do that, but there are times also when I need to make sure we're getting in the ball, maybe run some plays, some set plays for him. And when a guy gets hot and a guy gets going like that, it's teams will key on you. And if you can run a play for him, it opens everybody else up. And we need to recognize that. So, he's playing very well right now. He is leading the team in scoring. I think he's shooting, last time I looked, like 38% from downtown. So, I'll take that any day of the week, and he's a guy that can, change a game in a matter of minutes just with his shooting abilities.
Yeah, I noticed he had a 20-point game against Panguitch over the weekend as well. And, you know, we just mentioned going into the second go-around of region play, which is something that's going to be popping up here in the next couple of weeks. Teams start to take notice of that, right? I mean, so what are some of the things that you can do to make sure that you find him? Because you mentioned, you know, sometimes we have a hard time finding him. As we get deeper and deeper into region play, I'm sure, I mean, that's obviously something that's going to be in the scouting report.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to look at him and say, you know what, he scores 15 and 20 a game. Let's shut him down. And we need to make sure that when that happens, other guys are stepping up. So then it's hard for a team to guard, you know, to take away two or three guys. So then it kind of opens everything back up, and we need to make sure we're being aggressive. And, you know, he needs to make sure he's being aggressive at that. You know, go get some points at the free throw line and you know, spreading the ball around. You know, if he can catch the ball and find the open guy, because they'll probably send one or two guys at him every time at least. You know, if he can find the open guy, it opens everything else up. Then it kind of makes it, you know, it makes it hard to guard if you have, you know, two, three, four guys that are able to, you know, find the bucket consistently. So, and that's kind of what we need to work on right now. I need a few guys to step up and be able to, you know, put the ball in the hole, you know, to maybe take a little pressure off of his shoulders and, you know, be that second guy, be that third guy. And, you know, I'm not asking for 20 a night, but I'm asking for, you know, 8 to 10 a night from a few guys. And that's something that we'll work on in practice this week, and that's something that we'll, you know, try to get ready for Friday.
Yeah, you got Ryan averaging, I believe, 8 or 9 points per game. Derek Hillam's averaging double digits as well. Is it kind of finding that fourth guy to complement those three, Jordan, Ryan, and Derek?
Yeah, you know, and if we could have a guy step up, and, you know, maybe it's two guys that step up and, you know, be that fourth scorer. You know, if you can have two guys, you know, get points and be, you know, kind of combined into one good scorer, that'd be fantastic. You know, I think we need to make sure we're, you know, still taking high-quality shots as a team. We're not shooting great from the field. You know, we're shooting good enough to win three games right now. And if we could find the bucket a little better, you know, we wouldn't be, you know, 3-10 right now. We'd, you know, I mean, I'm not saying we'd be 10-0, but we'd definitely have, you know, three or four more wins. And you know, maybe, I mean, I don't know where we'd be right now. You know, I mean, if we could score better, you know, Delta game would have been closer. We would have been able to, you know, give ourselves a chance. And, you know, there are just times when we don't find the bucket that well, we rush some shots, and there are times when we look really well. So we just got to, you know, instead of playing Jekyll and Hyde, we just need to find the right mixture of it all and, you know, go 32 minutes with that.
We can end with this, Coach. Tough stretch for you guys. I mean, all the way around, you got to be road warriors. I think 5 out of the next 6 games are on the road, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I don't think our next home game is until the 19th. Yeah, you know, if we can go still, you know, 2 on the road, and, you know, obviously I want to steal as many as I can on the road, but if we can steal 2 or 3, I mean, that puts us in a very good position to, you know, be at the top of the region when, you know, the time comes.
Always fun to talk Carbon basketball with you, Coach. Thank you again for making time for us today, and hopefully we'll do it again soon.
All right, thanks for having me, Jordan.
Again, that's Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbon Dino Boys basketball squad. They'll return to the court on Friday with more region action. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to move over, talk NFL and college football. It's all straight ahead.
At Castleview Physical Therapy, they know your health is very important to you. That is why they take pride in offering you the highest quality of rehabilitation. Castleview is the only clinic in the area to be able to offer aquatic therapy. Their warm water pool is inviting and effective in providing a safe method to heal injuries. They are happy to offer this service that has been proven to be one of the best rehab environments to make exercise safer, more relaxing, and less painful. Come in and see how Castleview's aquatic therapy can help make your road to recovery a pleasant one. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 636-4841.
Do you have a warranty on your vehicle and you're sick of waiting to get it into a shop to get the repairs done? Wait no more. Supreme Auto Repair will have your vehicle looked at within 2 hours in most cases. And they have factory certified technicians that can perform any warranty work on your vehicle. Supreme will fix your vehicle when you want it done. Even if you want it done today, no problem. So how would you like to never hear this again?
I'm sorry, but we will not be able to look at your car for 2 weeks.
Supreme Auto Repair in the Piccolo Auto Plaza. On First North, behind Smith's.
Dr. Kyle Jeffrey is a board-certified general surgeon in our area that schedules office visits in both Price and Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopy or colonoscopy. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey for either Price or Castledale, call 613-7874.
at 613-7874.
Your car hasn't been running right, and you finally have a weekend free to start working on it. Well, lucky for you, J&D Automotive has extended their Saturday hours to help you get what you need to get the job done. J&D Auto's parts department will be open from 9 to 5 on Saturdays. At J&D Auto, you'll find name brand parts and an expert staff who can make sure you're getting all you need to get the job done right. The next time you're looking for the right part to get the job done, head to J&D Automotive on Main Street in Castledale. And now on Saturdays from 9 to 5.
With winter just around the corner, golfing is one sport that just doesn't come to mind. But at TK's Pro Shop, winter is the perfect time to stock up on clearance items to get you ready for spring. Just because you can't golf doesn't mean you can't be ready to. Stop into TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club.
Yeah, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queensbridge, you already know.
NFL playoffs are set. We know who's going where, who's been left out. All that drama, all the scenarios that we went over last week in the NFC. And none of it mattered. Because the Rams lost, Carolina lost, New Orleans lost. Yeah, we got a win from Atlanta. And so the seed stayed exactly the same. So we get Atlanta at Los Angeles. That'll be on Saturday night, 6:15. Then on Sunday, we get Carolina at New Orleans. The flip side of that, there was a lot of drama in the AFC. A lot of drama. Tennessee will take on Kansas City. That'll be Saturday at 2:20. And then we get Buffalo at Jacksonville. That game will be at 11:05 on Sunday. How about the Bills sneaking into the playoffs?
Now, Buffalo, everything broke their way. They go into Miami. They get a win. Almost blew that game against the Dolphins.
They did.
And get some help with the Bengals knocking off the Ravens at that last-second touchdown. So I really like that Buffalo-Jacksonville matchup, though.
It's fun. I think Jacksonville handles Buffalo. I like that defense for Jacksonville an awful lot, although they didn't play that well against Tennessee on Sunday. Wasn't a must-win for Jacksonville, but they did play all their starters.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Do you, going into this playoff matchup, how much do you trust Blake Bortles and his progression? And that's one thing that I still question.
Who would you rather have, Blake Bortles or Tyrod Taylor?
I would rather have Tyrod Taylor.
And they benched this guy midseason.
Yeah, for Peterman.
That would have been the most Buffalo Bills thing in the world, to miss the playoffs by one game after they decided to bench Tyrod Taylor. And I still believe a lot of it was due to all the contract incentives, because Tyrod Taylor had a bloated contract. And for me, it just seemed as if Buffalo has always been looking for an excuse to get rid of this guy. Now they're going to the playoffs. They have a chance in that Jacksonville game. I like the Jaguars to win it, but don't get me wrong. They have a chance. Outside of the playoffs, 20 teams are done for the year. And the coaching carousel has been in full motion. Let's talk about some of the jobs that are available. First off, the Denver Broncos are going to keep Vance Joseph. Does that surprise you?
A little bit. You thought that after the way they struggled this year with losing, what, 7-8 games in a row,
mm-hmm.
and how that offense struggled, the defense really was the staple this year for those guys. I know there's two games that they gave up 50 and 45, but I think the defense carried them. I thought they'd fire him and move on.
Yeah, I mean, as far as John Elway goes, and again, he's the guy calling the shots, and I've been very, very complimentary of John Elway. They're an old team. And I saw an interesting take on the Denver Broncos over the weekend, in which someone that we know that actually comes on the show from time to time was talking about maybe it's time for the Broncos to part ways with John Elway. And that's an interesting take that I've never really fully looked at. Bunch of recycled coaches. None of them have really brought anything new. You bring in Vance Joseph, you give him a year?
Yeah.
That's why I'm glad that Elway gives him a second season.
You get it. Yeah, after 1 year, it just doesn't make sense to even why you hire that guy in the first place if you're just going to fire him after 1 year. It's going to take some time for him to get things going. Like you said, they recycled their coaches. Really haven't had a quarterback since Manning left.
No, they haven't, and they're nowhere closer to getting
one. And that's on Elway. He has to get the quarterback in there.
Yeah, it's an interesting take because, again, I love what Elway has done. Went to 2 Super Bowls in 3 years with different identities. We've talked about that. But that's a fair take. Vance Joseph has to have one more full season. I'm really glad the Broncos are going to give him another go, although I felt like he did lose the team about, three-fourths of the way through the season. Let's be real. It was a bad year all the way around for the Denver Broncos. As far as Marvin Lewis goes, we talked about this earlier today. I am shocked that Marvin Lewis is coming back. This guy's coaching career in Cincinnati has 9 lives.
Yeah.
It's like a cat.
really does. I'm okay with what the Bengals are doing, keeping this guy, because who out there right now are you going to bring in to change that thing up? So give him two more years. Let after that 2 years, move him into the front office, and then go get your coach.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think there's a better
option out there.
There's really not a better option out there. No, and I think you're going to see a lot of these teams. Like, you can sit here and tell me that Josh McDaniels, in your opinion, is a better coaching fit in Cincinnati than Marvin Lewis. Guess what? Josh McDaniels, I've seen him as a head coach. I'm sure he's evolved since. I'm sure he's improved since. But again, Marvin Lewis has a resume that he has built. You can go ahead and give me all these coordinators that are coming from the coaching tree of Bill Belichick. But still, at the same time, I know what Marvin Lewis has done. Cincinnati is always competitive, even when they probably shouldn't be. I think he's done some really good things. Now, Bengal fans aren't going to agree, because that's the way fan bases are in the NFL. Bronco fans are not going to agree with Vance Joseph coming back, at least a large number of them. Okay, you talked about Jack Del Rio. You don't think the Raiders should have fired Jack Del Rio. You would be hard-pressed to find a Raider fan that would want to bring Jack Del Rio back for another season, especially knowing that they're going to get John Gruden, because John Gruden reminds them of just a better time.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Like, yeah, it is
let's
truth.
Let's be honest here.
And I think he's overrated. I really think that Gruden's overrated. But what are you going to do? When you struggled this year and that guy's out there and you're going to have to go get him.
I don't think he's overrated. I really don't. There's a reason why this guy is questioned, or at least rumored, for a lot of jobs. I mean, you look at the success rate that he has. Look where he had the Raiders. Look what he did in Tampa Bay. I don't agree that he's overrated. Maybe overhyped. Yeah, maybe I could buy that. But he's got a proven track record. And he's coming back on his own terms. Let's talk about the jobs that are now open, because there's six of them. I'll ask you this right off of the bat. Cardinals, Bears, Lions, Colts, Giants, Raiders. Which job is most viable? What job looks the best in your opinion?
The Giants.
I'm curious as to why, because I view the Giants. I know the market is fantastic. I get that, but I would probably put them out of the top. I would probably put them five or six. To me, that is the least desirable job available. I'm curious as to why you like that job.
High draft pick, where you're going to get a franchise type quarterback. You hope the ownership there has proven that they can go out and spend money and get players in. I like their defense. I think it's a start. Their offensive line needs some work. I just think the Giants, that's the job that I'd want the most.
I got to go with, to me, it's a toss-up. The Raiders are the team that are best set up to win right now.
Yeah, and they're getting a fresh start in a new city.
Right. So, you know, I get that. That would probably have to be number one. Plus, you have Derek Carr. I know that he didn't necessarily look great this year. I don't know that he was fully recovered from his injury. I don't know. But otherwise, I mean, look, he's worthy of being a franchise quarterback, and that's what the Raiders have there. And so right off the bat, I'm all for it. Flip side, you have Khalil Mack, one of the best, if not the best, defensive player in the game right now. He's about to get paid. You're going to have him long-term. Got a strong offensive line. You have Amari Cooper. Yeah, to me, the Raider job seems to be the most viable. That's the one that I would want the most. On top of that, I'll throw one at you that I would take over the Giants. I would take the Bears over the Giants.
Yeah, Mitchell Trubisky showed some signs that this kid can play. The thing with Chicago is it's just, I don't like their ownership group. They just seem not to get things right.
They need to find an offensive mind. If the Bears can find an offensive mind that can develop a quarterback, they're set to go, because you have Jordan Howard, you have Tarik Cohen. I love the backfield. I love the offensive line. Kyle Long, if that guy gets healthy, sky's the limit for the Bears up front. Defensively, Leonard Floyd is fantastic. You have Adrian Amos. They have several weapons that I really, really like in Chicago. And I think it's desirable because Trubisky did show signs. Okay, you look at the Rams job this last year. I'm not going to compare the Bears to the Rams. But the Rams job was very desirable if you bought into Jared Goff. Okay, because the transactions, they're behind you. You know, everything that the Rams had to do to acquire Jared Goff, Sean McVay didn't have to be a part of that.
No.
He had his guy. He didn't have to make a move to get a potential franchise quarterback. It's the same thing in Chicago.
And they got to be patient. Chicago does.
Well, they have to be.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I just don't think they're one of those franchises that are just not patient with their coaching.
See, but Trubisky only played 13 games in college. Only started 13 games in college.
Yep.
And then he comes into the NFL. To me, he was a kid that had, you know, the sky was the limit for him. A lot of people questioned the Bears moving up to get him. But the fact is, whoever takes over at head coach doesn't have to worry about that. Like, they have their guy. Your sole purpose, or not your sole purpose, but your main item on your agenda is going to be developing Mitch Trubisky. To me, that puts it right behind the Raiders. I look at teams from a quarterback standpoint. You can take over any franchise you want. If you don't have a quarterback, you're in some serious trouble. Now, on the flip side of that, the Lions' job is going to be open. And I like Matt Stafford. I don't know that he's a top-10 quarterback. He's highly paid. Statistically, he's a top-10 quarterback. I don't know if he fits that bill for me.
There's not a lot of weapons around him.
There's not. And that, I think that's one of the problems with the Lions. But again, if you're basing it off quarterbacks, the Lions have got to be ahead of the Colts because I don't know what Andrew Luck's future holds.
Yeah.
And that's another team. The Raiders, Lions, Bears, Giants, Colts, and the Cardinals. And the Cardinals do not have a franchise quarterback. So I'm looking at this realistically. The Raiders have the highest potential on what's on the board from the quarterback position next to the Chicago Bears. That's why I'd have them 1-2. Outside of that, Matt Stafford's been very good for a very long time. I don't know. I guess the Lions would be in the playoff picture immediately just based on the fact that they have a guy like Matt Stafford, but there's some holes on that team as well.
A lot of holes on that Lions team. Running back situation is up and down. Like you said, they don't have any wide receivers. Their offensive line is shaky, but you got that guy there in Stafford, that quarterback there, so that's all ready. If you can just put something around him, you can compete for a playoff spot.
Well, they got a tough division because you know Aaron Rodgers is going to be back next year.
Yeah, the Bears are getting better.
The Bears are getting better.
And the Vikings are still the stud to the division.
Exactly. So that, it's a tough job, but for me, I'm going to go Raiders. I would go Bears. Probably would go the Lions next. And then I would maybe go the Giants ahead of the Colts. I don't know. The Cardinals, for me, they don't have a franchise quarterback, but at the same time, I like some of the assets that the Cardinals have. Larry Fitzgerald could be in a wheelchair, and I'd want that guy on my team. Patrick Peterson is also worth noting on that squad as well. You have one of the most well-rounded backs in the game in David Johnson, who you lost on opening day. Maybe the Cardinal season plays out a little bit differently if he's around all season long. Chandler Jones led the league with 17 sacks, so there's definitely a lot of weapons in Arizona as well. This is probably the best group of available jobs for first-year head coaches, and I'm expecting, outside of the Raiders, who are definitely going to go the route of John Gruden, I'm expecting the other five teams to not bring in a retread. I would expect a coordinator, a first-time head coach to step in. It's time for a new wave of coaches. And there's some viable options here. I mean, you look at 2 through 6. But again, for me, the Bears, I like the Bears more than I like the Giants. You like the Giants, though, because of their draft pick. So you like the fact, and I guess this kind of falls in line with what I was saying about not having to make a maneuver to get a franchise quarterback. Whatever coach they bring in, he's got to be an offensive-minded guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know Eli Manning's at the end of his career. I pity any coach that has to deal with that if Eli Manning comes back.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Josh Rosen's going to be there.
Rosen,
I would assume. I don't expect Cleveland to go Rosen number one. In fact, I would expect Cleveland to probably trade that pick. Fact is, you're going to have your choice of one of three quarterbacks, top three quarterbacks in this NFL draft.
Yeah, and that's the thing moving forward. You're going to have that quarterback there, that foundation for the next 10 years. Hopefully, if it pans out that way. You got some weapons on the offensive side with Odell Beckham. Defensively, you're going to have to upgrade. I like Landon Collins, so I like the Giants job, though.
Yeah, I probably got to go with the Bears. The Raiders and the Bears, I think, would be my top two choices. Cardinals not bad either, if you can figure out something at quarterback.
The only thing going against the Cardinals is that division with San Francisco and Los Angeles.
You didn't mention Seattle.
No, Seattle's on the downside. Older team, they still have Russell Wilson, but the other two teams are better, and I think Arizona beat them, so Arizona proved that they're better than Seattle.
Let's break for just a moment. We don't have more Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we're going to flip over to college football. It's a Tuesday edition of the show.
Many people believe that baby teeth don't matter because they're just going to fall out. The truth is, baby teeth do matter. Good dental health in children fosters good nutrition, aids in speech development, builds self-esteem, and enables children to learn better in school without the distraction of dental pain. Dr. Markham and Dr. Lund with Price Pediatric Dental are here to make sure your child's dental health is in check, all while making it a comforting and inviting experience. Call Price Pediatric Dental today to get your child on the road to good dental health. 637-9590.
When talking about service, I'm sure you'll concur. It's actions that speak louder than words. So with my money, every red cent, I trust these folks 100%. Eastern Utah Community Credit Union.
Now that Christmas has come and gone, are you left with several high-rate credit card bills due in January? At Eastern Utah Community Credit Union, they have a great low-rate alternative to all those high-interest rate cards. You can roll over several balances to either their Premier or Extra Awards Visa card and extend your payment due date an extra month. There are no annual fees, and for a limited time, you can earn 1 point for every dollar you transfer or have your balance transfer fee waived. You can spend the points you earn for gift cards, hotel stays, or cash in your pocket. They're easy to earn and even easier to use. At Eastern Utah Community Credit Union, you can depend on us to help you start this new year off right.
Membership and eligibility required. NCUA insured. Loans approved on credit. Equal housing lender.
Eastern Utah Community Credit Union. Depend on us.
There are many sounds in your daily life. Ones that make you smile. Ones that help you relax. And there are some sounds that can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts. Now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you critical information about emergencies in your area. With updates from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know wherever you are. Learn more at ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'm here to brag a little bit about some of the amazing students we have representing the college. I'd like to recognize our volleyball, softball, and soccer teams for the time and service they're giving to our local elementary students by helping with reading programs and other school programs. Thank you, student-athletes, for being role models to our youngest community members and for helping to make the future a little brighter because of your efforts. For more stories about the incredible student body we have here at USU Eastern, see our website, usueastern.edu.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
Well, by talking some college football, how amazed were you yesterday at the way Alabama dominated Clemson? Because that surprised me. My picks going into the playoffs... It was, I thought it would be Georgia-Clemson. I expect Georgia to win. That was my prediction going into it. Did not see Alabama manhandling Clemson the way they did yesterday.
No, dominated from the start of the game, and that's kudos to Nick Saban. He got it done again. So Alabama, I think Alabama's going to win the national championship now.
I still think Georgia's the best team in the country. I've had that opinion on Georgia for quite some time. But I'll tell you, if Alabama's defense plays the way they did yesterday, I think they're very, very tough to beat. To say the least. But that being said, I went on another show today, and we were talking about this, and the host of this other show said, at no point in time did he ever feel that Clemson had a chance to win that game. I was the complete opposite. At the end of the first half in this game, it had been dominated by Alabama, and it was 10-3.
Yeah, they still were in the game.
They were in the game. They played horrible football for two quarters. Dabo Swinney even said that walking off the field, that it was the worst two quarters his team could possibly play, and they were still within striking distance. And I think that's kind of a testament to how good Clemson really is, because there's maybe a handful of teams that really could have been able to weather that storm early on, but Clemson did. Fact of the matter is, Kelly Bryant was non-existent in this game. Once Etienne went down, they were very one-dimensional, and they could not throw on Alabama. It was that simple. And then you have to flip side this, because... you can talk about how great Alabama's defense was, but at the same time, one of the things that really stood out to me in this game yesterday was Jalen Hurts and how he controlled the game. Alabama played a near-perfect contest. Can they do that again next week? Probably not, but I mean, Hurts was 16 of 24 for 120 yards and two touchdowns. Those aren't eye-popping stats, I get it. But at the same time, that's the style of football that Alabama plays, and that's the kind of game that Jalen Hurts has to have in order for them to win. Now, on the flip side, we had a 54-48 shootout between Georgia and Oklahoma, and Baker Mayfield played well enough to win this game. Unfortunately, I guess if you're an Oklahoma fan, it wasn't good enough because the game went into overtime. I don't know, did you watch this game?
I did.
I cannot for the life of me understand why Lincoln Riley decided to go ahead and kick a short squib was the difference in the game for me.
gave 3 points away, and initially it was a wash on the other one when he scored the touchdown. So,
well, they made it a two-possession game once
again. Yeah, kick
it
deep. They're not going to return it for a touchdown.
And it was, yeah, rarely does that happen. I get that that's the thing to do. But, I mean, it was such a short kick that you put Oklahoma, or excuse me, you put Georgia in position almost immediately to get the, you know, to get it back down to a one possession. And from that point, or a two-possession game, and from that point in time, it just seemed like the momentum, it went back and forth late in the contest, but that allowed Georgia to get back into the game. Oklahoma was running them out of Pasadena. And the touchdown before that squib kick was set up beautifully. It was a trick play in which Baker Mayfield caught a touchdown in the back of the end zone. And it just looked like Georgia's defense was reeling. They had no answer for Oklahoma. I didn't understand that.
No.
I really didn't. In my opinion, you're better off kicking it out of bounds. Kicking it deep down the field and out of bounds and giving them the ball on the 35-yard line, because at the end of the day, or 40-yard line, at the end of the day, Oklahoma probably takes a knee and gets out before they try to throw a long pass downfield. You gave them such a short field to begin with. I didn't necessarily agree with that play, but with that being said, Baker Mayfield was 23 of 35, 287 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. And Rodney Anderson ran for over 200 yards on the ground for Oklahoma. There's no way they should have lost that game. On the flip side, Sony Michel and Nick Chubb only touched the ball 25 times out of the backfield, and they accumulated over 300 yards on the ground and five touchdowns. And that's why Georgia is the best team in the country. I said it all year long. That duo is why they are the best in the country.
Yes, still, Oklahoma, like you said, it just all the momentum before halftime just got sucked out of it. And after that, Georgia took advantage. And there's no way Oklahoma should have blew that game.
No, absolutely not.
I thought Lincoln Riley took the ball out of Baker Mayfield's hand in overtime, too.
Yeah, they played a little bit. They played a little bit.
Conservative?
Yeah, that would be the case, right? I mean, I would have liked to have seen Baker maybe go a little bit more Vince Young style, run the football a little bit more in overtime.
Me too.
Best player in the country? Yeah, no one's going to argue that. I don't think anyone can argue that. I may not like the kid, but I think he's the best college football player in the country and was really a non-factor in overtime. Terrific game. Comes all the way down to the wire, and again, it was a blocked field goal that ultimately gives Georgia the win. And Georgia was going to play that safe. They were going to let Chubb, they were going to let Michelle touch the football two times, three times, kick the field goal. They were not trying to score a touchdown. But Jake Fromm, a true freshman, and this is something that I think gets overlooked as well. That kid was playing high school football last year.
And now look.
Jake Fromm was playing high school football last season. He's not a redshirt freshman. He's a true freshman. And he orchestrated a perfect drive to tie that football game up and give Georgia a chance. Following the fumble, again, Sony Michel, I believe, was the one that fumbled the football.
Yes, he did.
It looks like everything's in Oklahoma's favor. Jake Fromm come back, was perfect in that fourth quarter, was perfect in overtime. That was the best college football game that I have watched so far this year.
Me too.
It was
awesome.
Knowing what's at stake and looking at the big picture, yeah, I think that was the best college football game that I've seen all year. Alabama, Georgia. You like Bama?
I like Alabama.
Yeah, I like Georgia.
Roll Tide.
I thought that Georgia was the best team in the country. Since they beat Notre Dame and South Bend, I thought they were the best team in the country.
They got Alabama. Well, I'm not going against Nick Saban.
Eh, Kirby Smart, I believe, what, assistants against Nick Saban are like 0-11 against Saban?
Yeah.
His former assistants is something, some statistic like that. But Kirby Smart will have a chance at him. Looking forward to the game. We'll have plenty of build-up to the national championship in the coming days. But yesterday was terrific. How about the turnaround? Two squads, I got to mention this, we got like 30 seconds left. Michigan State and Notre Dame, two biggest turnarounds of the year, hands down. Michigan was 3-9.
LSU should have won
nine games.
Yeah, LSU should have went for the touchdown. When you have fourth and goal from the inch line, and they didn't.
Notre Dame should not have won that game yesterday.
No.
Two missed field goals inside the 35-yard line for LSU, difference in the game. But again, give Mark D'Antonio and give Brian Kelly a lot of credit for the turnaround of those two programs. Out of time on the show today. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. We are out.